There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Steve Allwright is on the phone. Captain Steve Allwright is back in town. Steve, I think it's about 3 years since we've spoken. So a warm welcome back.
Thanks, Tim. It's good to be back on air.
So, look, you're flying with confidence. You are a pilot. You're back in town for a course that you run, and you run this periodically. I know things have changed, but I think it's probably fair to say, and I think I can speak for NLT, Natalie, to my side here, that as we've got older, she's a lot younger than me, I hasten to add that, because she's sending me daggers at the moment. But as you get older, I think a lot of times we develop more of a fear of flying as feelings of mortality hit, and that tends to happen. My kids are super confident flyers. I'm less so. But I guess, is that something you come up with a lot?
We do come up with that a little bit. Yes, I would say, actually, we do have all ages. We run teenage courses in the UK. We have 80-year-olds, 90-year-olds on the court, on our main course, and we have honeymooners come along. So, in fact, it pretty much affects all ages, all sexes, all races. It's fairly indiscriminate for all sorts of different reasons.
And Steve, you're running a course tomorrow to help people. Tell us a little bit about what it entails. What would people do tomorrow in order to tackle their fear of flying?
Okay, so there's two main thrusts to the course tomorrow, because it's a ground-based course. So we cover all the psychological aspects of a phobia. We teach people to understand what's going on in their body when they're feeling nervous, the physiological things, the sweaty palms, the racing heart, the feeling of sickness that's caused by adrenaline, caused by anticipatory anxiety. The definition of a phobia is an irrational fear. If you're going to put your fingers in a plug socket, then that would be a rational fear. But an irrational fear is something that a fear of flying is, and therefore you get adrenaline inappropriately, and that makes you feel sick. So the other side of the course is the pilot side, if you like. So all the bits and pieces about commercial aviation, we sort of debunk the myths, as it were. So a very common part of a fear of flying phobia is turbulence, for example. What causes turbulence? Why it is never dangerous? Uncomfortable, but never dangerous. How an aircraft flies? How is it that 400 tons of metal and bags and people and duty-free and all that stays airborne for hours on end? Lots about pilot training and getting people to trust the profession, the engineering, air traffic control, and all of those sort of things that are part of our everyday life, and all the legislation around commercial aviation, which makes it the safest form of travel.
I mean, we know that, and that's the point. It is the safest form of travel, and most airlines are very, very hot on safety, and I understand all of that, and I'm wondering why, as I've got older, and I've flown a lot, I've lived abroad for a long time, go on holiday fairly regularly, I should be fine with flying, but as I've got older, when takeoff happens and landing happens, I am, I think, visibly nervous, and I wonder if it's, as I've got older, I want more control over my life. Is that something you see a lot?
That's a very common reason, a lack of control. So as you perhaps get older, you become more in control of your life, and therefore the aspects of your life that you're not in control of become relevant. The other group of people, I don't know if you've recently had children, Tim, but we get a large group of people on the course who are new mums and dads who were bowling along in life quite happy and, as you say, not frightened of their own mortality.
Right.
And suddenly they're responsible for young children, and these children depend on them for their livelihood, and therefore you need to stay alive suddenly. And that starts playing little tricks in your mind. So that is another reason there. We explore all of these on the day.
Steve, it's interesting what Tim was saying, because my husband's a captain as well, and because of that I get to fly a lot. But I have noticed as I've got older, I do I listen out for noises in different ways, and my husband is probably not dissimilar to you. I'm sure when you're sat next to your wife or family member on a plane, He'll tell me, oh, that's just this happening and that's just this happening.
Yeah.
He likes explaining it to me. Doesn't help me. Doesn't help me. If anything, I'm like, oh, just stop telling me how it's working. I don't understand how planes stay up in the air. That's why he's a pilot and I'm not. But I'm confident that he understands it enough that I feel safe when I'm with him. So that helps.
Yes.
But I think what's interesting is, like Tim said, it's changed for me with age. When I was younger, I was so confident and probably flew a lot. It was infrequent. But as I've got older, I fly more frequently. And I understand, like you've mentioned, all of these things. Turbulence is okay. Safety records are great now. Technology's there. There's lots and lots of positive things. But it's something I can't put my finger on. But what I was going to ask you is, I do feel like sometimes when you're in the air, when you're on a plane, you think about things differently. As Tim's mentioned, mortality. Even, for example, if I watch a film on a plane, I tend to cry more than if I watched it on the ground.
All right. Yeah.
Is there any particular reason that might be?
Well, it might be because you're in a more anxious state to start with. So that would be the reason. So what you're explaining here to me is this is the reason we do the two bits of the course. So some people, all they need is knowledge. They don't understand lift, which is actually what creates, how the airplane gets up and stays up. They don't understand turbulence. And so for those people, the knowledge bit of the course works really well. But we recognise and accept, we've been doing these courses for 30-odd years now, 50,000 people around the world, and we know that actually some people say, yeah, I know all of that, but I still feel anxious. How can you help me? And that's where we kick in on the psychological side, and we teach them very simple life skills to reduce your anxiety. We call it breathe and squeeze. We give you some breathing exercise and some deep breathing exercise and some muscle clenching exercises, and you combine the two. We practice them on the day. We talk about some uncomfortable things on the day, and so that people do get that wave of fear, and then directly use these techniques. And these are things that you can teach your children that, when they're about to do exams, and just a very, very powerful technique. And by practicing that on the day, if the people go away armed with that, then suddenly the life and flying becomes a lot easier. It's physically impossible to be in a state of panic whilst you're doing true deep breathing. And therefore, by conquering that technique and learning it on the day, you're 99% cured there and then.
And you have a 90% success rate on the course, which is fantastic. But I just wondered, is it worth mentioning to people, some airlines do offer beyond the classroom, you can actually go on special flights. Some people even just go and sit on the plane, don't they, if that's even a big step for lots
so
of people.
We do that as well. In the UK, the course includes a flight as well. The trouble is with Dubai that we have obviously a very big aeroplane that's not on the ground for very long and therefore not appropriate to use for a short flight. But what we do offer, if people are willing to pay some extra, is an accompanied flight there and back. I've done that myself with some clients in the past where we've gone to where Bahrain and back or whatever, just on a short hop from Dubai where we do explain all those noises and sit next to them and get them, encouraging them to do their breathing properly, etc., etc. And that's what we do for those people.
A final question, Steve. If you go through the course and you achieve what you want to achieve or think you want to achieve in the course, how soon after should you fly? Should you get straight back in the seat, as it were?
Yes, absolutely. Ideally, we would encourage people to go and employ those techniques they've learned, soon afterwards. But I do get asked that question a lot, if we've got a few courses running and they say, well, shall I wait until just before? And actually the advice we get from our psychologists is the moment you recognise and identify that you are suffering from aerophobia, that you should attack it immediately, because otherwise you just spend the whole time not looking forward to your holiday or your business travel or whatever it is that you're flying for. Mm. Whereas by coming on the course, you can overcome this fear, you can start practicing these techniques every time you do think about the flight and have that little ripple in your heart flutter or whatever it is. You can then do your breathing, and by the time you get to the flight, effect should be an awful lot easier for you.
Okay, well, I lied to you when I said final question, but this is the final question now. It's just a text in, actually. And somebody says, look, we get scared of flying due to incidents like MH370. I mean, it is simply a fact of life now that you will get an alert on your phone when a news flash comes in, and that flash could be an air incident, an accident. What do you say to somebody that says that to you, just briefly?
What I say is that the amount of newspaper and media coverage for that one tragic event was hugely disproportional to the, you know, 8 billion people that flew in 2017 without a single fatality on a Western-built commercial airline. The numbers just don't add up. And the trouble is that the brain is a very fallible thing. And if you read about MH370 for half an hour every day for 3 weeks, you know, the brain suddenly thinks, gosh, this is happening all the time. This is happening, you know, around the world. It's happening every week. It's happening every month. And, of course, the reality is that is so far from the truth. You know, you've only got to go onto a sort of flight radar app, you know, or some of the things we show them on the course, where we show the amount of aeroplanes. There's 110,000 commercial flights a day, you know, every day, and every day they all fly very safely, and all those people, and 8 billion people in 2017, not a single. So do you see, you have to be very careful about reading too much in the media about, you know, we get people on the course who are air crash investigation, you know, avid fans, you know, you sort of watch it over and over again, and all you're doing there is feeding your fear. So don't read about it. Don't come along and discover reality.
Okay, Captain Steve Allwright is hosting Flying with Confidence. It's on tomorrow, Steve. Appreciate you coming back on, and all the best. Thank you.
No problem at all. If anybody needs any information, it's on www.flyingwithconfidence.com.
We know. Thanks, Steve.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcast at DubaiEye1038.com.